This is the TTY Dialer, episode 34, for the week of June 19th through June 24th. Hello there. Welcome to another edition of WRVO's weekly companion to our old-time radio show, Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Lefonier. Every single night, you can hear programs from the golden age of radio on the air, like comedies, dramas, westerns, mystery, action, suspense, romance, and more, all in your theater of the mind, and it's on from 10 to midnight on our main air signal, with encore broadcasts of the show posted on the web at WRVO.org. There's also a second stream of old-time radio that plays from 8 to 10 via the web, and our second stream called WRVO2. This podcast, if you're new, brings you a blend of radio history, fun with sound from the past, and a look at the shows coming up for the week.
Don't breathe. Don't breathe a word until you chew Clorets, because Clorets makes your breath kissing sweet. That's right, kissing sweet. Clorets is the delicious new chewing gum that contains chlorophyll. Aha, that magical green chlorophyll you've read so much about. Clorets with chlorophyll banishes most odors that make breath unpleasing. Clorets makes breath sweet and wholesome in seconds. Chew Clorets and your breath becomes kissing sweet, even after eating onions or garlicky salads, even after heavy smoking or telltale beverages. It's the chlorophyll in Clorets that does the trick. And Clorets is such a delicious gum, you'll chew it for pure enjoyment. Everyone who breathes should chew Clorets to keep breath always kissing sweet. So carry a package in pocket or purse. Get Clorets today. C-L-O-R-E-T-S. Only 15 cents a box wherever chewing gum is sold. Chew Clorets, the gum delicious. It makes your breath kissing sweet.
That was a commercial for the sponsor of radio's Defense Attorney Show. It was on the air for a little bit better than a year on ABC in 1951 and 52, featuring one of the most famous voices in radio, Mercedes McCambridge, as the defense attorney. Now, although it was a quality show, it failed to keep a sponsor for very long, probably thanks to advertising dollars moving to TV, and it was supported by the network as a sustaining show, having shorter contracts with Kick Cereal and Goodyear Tires after Clorets. That gum actually caused some controversy, and not for its breath-freshening properties, which are still popular among deer hunters today as the chlorophyll helps mask their breath, which an animal can detect, but for their commercial series on TV shortly after they stopped sponsoring Defense Attorney. Clorets was brought up during a congressional investigation of TV and radio programs in 1952, where one Winifred Smart, who is representing the National Council of Catholic Women, had conducted a survey with their members regarding any offensive material on television and ways the networks could improve. And she stated that
there were some comments in the survey about offensive commercials. Particularly, I remember this one, Clorets. The Kissing Sweet advertisement was considered very offensive by, I remember, about 200 parents. There were several commercials which were mentioned as being offensive in their matter of poor taste. This was mentioned as poor taste.
So the kiss may not have been so sweet to some parents, but with the brand of gum still being sold today, it certainly survived a chewing out on the floor of the house. This Monday evening at 10 on Tune to Yesterday, it's comedy from broadcasts of The Jimmy Durante Show and Red Skelton. Then at 11, True History from Democracy in America, taking us back to the 4th of July in Albany, 1831, then the Cavalcade of America. This Tuesday, June 20th, at 10 o'clock, drama from episodes of Escape and the Radio City Playhouse, then Crime at 11 from episodes of The Lineup and the Philip Morris Playhouse.
Who are you?
I'm George Hilton. Remember, I picked you up yesterday in a Bowery flophouse. This is my place.
Ah, yes, I remember now. Yes. Oh, what a head.
I've got to step out for a little while, but make yourself at home. Wash up, raid the icebox. I'll dissect you later.
Huh?
Oh, we made a bargain yesterday. You were to tell me all about life in flophouses, and I was going to stand your living expenses.
Well, a bargain's a bargain, I always say. Oh, bring back another bottle of this stuff here, will you? It packs a beautiful wallop.
You can hear these shows Monday, June 19th and Tuesday, June 20th, live on the air, on Tune to Yesterday, or streaming live as they play at WRVO.org. An amazing actress from radio's golden age was born this Monday, June 19th, in 1910, And by the time she was 50, she had starred in over 7,000 broadcasts in the role of Ma Perkins in the soap opera of the same name. And reportedly, she never missed a broadcast. Virginia Payne was known in the U.S. as America's mother as Ma Perkins. That drew a steady 9 million listeners to their radios weekday mornings and early afternoons from 1933 through 1960, pretty much the span of the golden age of radio. When she was 23, Payne took on the role of Perkins, a widowed woman, close to, if not in her retirement years, and was the quintessential woman of the old school, with a weekly stream of common sense and sage advice, which had listeners hooked and also soothed the characters in the fictional small town of Rushville Center, including her companion, Shuffle Schober. She also had daughters Evie, Faye, and son John. And being in her later years on the show, her children were grown and had families themselves, which provided plenty of fodder for the daily soap opera, with plots dealing with everything from simple family disagreements to small-town scandals with the neighbors, or the goings-on at the lumber yard that she owned and managed with her friend Shuffle. From the daily interaction with Ma and the characters, and the homespun nature and relatable family wit and perspectives on the show, listeners really grew to feel that Ma Perkins was a part of their lives, which makes sense after being heard on the air 5 days a week for decades. At the networks the show was carried on, there was a never-ending delivery of fan mail, too, holiday gifts, and heartfelt condolences when there was trouble with the characters on the show. Even though the mail probably should have been addressed to the writers, including 20-year veteran Oren Tavroff, Virginia Payne really enjoyed the reaction from her fans and acted with the oath that she would, quote, never play her short. She quickly evolved into a compassionate, humorous, patient, and candid voice that really endeared millions. A regular scenario on the show couldn't have been more plain either, and that was Ma Perkins sitting in the parlor or on the porch and reminiscing with and about her friends and family. Here's some sound from one of those moments from around 1949.
Say something, Ma. Don't just stand there looking so queer.
You're saying enough, my child. You just go right on, feeling any way you want to feel.
Oh, Ma, what a nice thing to say. You understand so much. Am I wrong about him, Ma? You like him too, don't you? Did I tell you about last night?
Yes, you did.
I want to tell you again.
I'd like to hear about it again. One thing that I'd like to hear about, did you say you met some friend of his working there at the restaurant?
No. Friend of Spencer's? No, I don't want to tell you, but... Oh, yes, we did. Well, so we did, Ma. You have a wonderful memory. Yes, this man, Tom Wells, but... Oh, who cares about him? I don't want to talk about him. He was very unpleasant. He was in Spencer's squadron during the war. Well, never mind about him. I won't talk about Spencer. Oh, Ma. I'm trying to think back to the way it was when I met Paul Henderson. Only I can't remember. Is it because I haven't had any fun for years and years that I'm having fun now? Is that why I feel like this? But I'm too old just to be thinking about fun. I'm a widow with a daughter aged 7. Oh, Ma, why is everything so shiny in this old kitchen this morning? And look, it's such a gray, gloomy day out there.
You keep asking me questions like I was the one who could answer them. I can't say. There's only one person who can answer such questions.
You mean Spencer? Oh, Ma, you can't ask the other person such things.
No, I didn't mean Spencer. I meant you yourself. And there's a time when it ain't necessary to ask questions. A time when... Oh, it's better just to be.
Be?
Be. Feel. Be happy. Just take the day as it is.
You're so wise. You're so wise. And so pretty and so good. You love me, don't you, Ma? I've got to have everybody love me. Today I couldn't stand it if there was a soul anywhere who didn't love me. I'm... the birthday girl. Everybody loves the birthday girl. And I love the whole world.
The statue is a beautiful bed, Grandma, but here she is.
Oh, good morning, Paulette. Oh, my precious, my angel. Who tied that bow in your pretty brown hair?
I'll give you your orange juice, child.
I tied it. I probably didn't do a very good job.
It's a lovely job. You are a very competent young lady. You're a very pretty young lady. Do you know that your mother adores you?
I know. Can I squeeze the oranges, Grandma, please?
No, don't go squeezing oranges on a beautiful morning like this. Stand here and let me look at you. You are my heart. You are my rainbow. You're everything there is, you little monkey. You understand that you have very skinny knees, and I love them and every scratch on them.
Yes, Mama, but right now I'd like to squeeze the oranges, please.
Let her squeeze the oranges, Faith.
Well, I'll go up and get dressed. I'm only going to put on a sweater and skirt, but in my heart, I'll be white organdy. I'll just have coffee, Ma. Coffee and some orange juice.
Yes, Faith.
Just a sweater and skirt? No underwear?
Yes, Monkey. Underwear, too.
Because everybody wears underwear.
Yes, my precious. Maybe I better squeeze the oranges, dear. You hold the stringer.
What was all that funny talk of Mama's, Grandma?
Funny talk? Mm. Oh, your Mama was just chattering away. We chatter away sometimes, you know.
I'm a chatterbox, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama looks so funny, too. I mean, is Mama getting fat? Her face sort of looked like a pussycat, Grandma. Round.
Your Mama's face looked very soft this morning, Charles. Grandma thinks your Mama looked very pretty this morning.
Yes, she did. In fact, beautiful. You know, beautiful's even prettier than pretty. It's the prettiest kind of pretty there is.
Beautiful. Yes, I know.
Does everybody get more beautiful all the time? Will I, Grandma?
Hmm. But when nice things happen to you, you will. But when you're happy.
Oh, then that's it. Mama's happy. That's good. I like it when everybody's happy. I'm holding up the strainer, Grandma. Come on, pour.
And there we have the three generations. Wise old Ma, competent, happy little Paulette. And in between, our Faye, who today seems living in a dream. What's going to happen between Faye and Spencer Grayson? Well, we get another report tomorrow. But now, this is Charlie Warren inviting you to listen again tomorrow to Oxydol's own Ma Perkins. Same time, same station.
This Wednesday night on Tune to Yesterday at 10 on June 21st, an hour of adventure from broadcasts of Dangerous Assignment and Escape with the story Robert of Huntington.
But little John had another idea. He dressed himself in the disguise of a tailor, and carrying nothing but a stave and a dagger, he made his way to Nottingham, where he hoped to find out what he could about Martin Greenleaf. But luck wasn't with him, because he'd gone less than a mile beyond the forest when he was seen by six of the sheriff's henchmen. And because of his great height, they recognized him.
I tell you what it is. It's Little John. I've seen him before when we fought the outlaws in the forest. Take him!
At 11 o'clock Wednesday night, it's Broadway from the Theater Guild on the air with the play Papa Is All. Then Thursday night, 10 o'clock brings us horror with The Hermit's Cave and Suspense. Then science fiction at 11 with the CBS Radio Workshop with the story A Pride of Carrots. And Dr. Grimshaw's Sanitarium on X-1. Hear all of these programs Wednesday, June 21st and Thursday, June 22nd from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. This Thursday, June 22nd in 1942, the first batch of V-mail was sent to soldiers overseas fighting in the Second World War. Now, the system that had officially launched just a week earlier by the War Departments of the Army and Navy enabled the burden of the massive mail deliveries across the ocean to be significantly reduced. V-mail was a process of taking a letter and then transferring it to microfilm, which obviously drastically reduced the size, transforming a couple of large, heavy bags of paper letters to just one roll of microfilm, which held about 1,500 pieces of mail. So once the film arrived overseas, the letters were transferred to postcard-sized photographs, and though often illegible, it brought the troops word from their loved ones at home. Post offices in Chicago, San Francisco, and New York handled this type of correspondence, which was handwritten on female stationery, and they would vet the letters for any inappropriate content. To call back a popular phrase at the time, loose lips sink ships. And because of the general efficiency of V-mail, it was heavily advertised at the time, with some posters claiming that about 2,000 letters could fit into one pack of cigarettes. There was instances of people trying to send rose petals or locks of hair to be microfilmed, and it did cause a commotion at the post offices that, when reported on in newspapers, the problem was referred to as the Scarlet Scourge. So the War Department came up with a strict set of guidelines to help expedite the already intense flow of V-mail that was numbered in the tens of millions in its first couple of years. Now here's some sound about the V-mail service from a World News Today broadcast from February 20th, 1944.
There seems to be little doubt that the fighting men overseas want mail, all the mail they can get. For a report on just how the V-mail machines operate, Admiral Radio takes you to the Fleet Post Office here in New York, Bill Slocum, Jr. reporting.
Listen to that sound for a second or two, please. It sounds a little like a heart pounding and pushing lifeblood through a very tired and busy human body. Well, that's precisely what it does. It's V-mail equipment. This piece happens to be in the Navy's Fleet Post Office in New York, where similar pieces of machinery are scattered all over the world. And wherever they are, they're helping tired and busy humans carry on a back-breaking job. If you're a son or daughter in the services, you certainly have been told much more eloquently than I can tell you just what mail means to a fighting man or woman. I have no intention of making a pep talk about writing to soldiers and sailors. I'll leave that to my emotional contemporaries. But as a fair country reporter, I think I found out the second best way to tell your guy or gal whatever is on your mind. That way is through the use of V-mail. There are several reasons, but I think you can throw them all out the window after the first reason. And that is, anything you send by V-mail will get where it's sent. Planes crash, ships sink, but V-mail negatives stay right here. If one is lost, it is sent off again. Yes, somebody reads V-mail material before it goes overseas. But, and so many of us don't seem to realize this, somebody reads every letter before it is sent overseas. There's nothing anybody can do about censors. V-mail is the process of photographing letters and then sending the negatives over for developing and delivering. A roll of V-mail film weighs 5 ounces, and it is the equivalent of a 35-pound sack of normal mail. And there is no limit to the number of pages you send, so long as each is properly addressed. 40,000 letters go through these machines here at the Fleet Post Office, New York, and they can very easily handle twice as many. And the Navy says if the demand increases, they'll just get more machines. Yes, the Army and Navy want you to use V-mail. They know better than anyone just what mail means to fighting men and women, and they are determined to see that mail gets to these men and women. But they'd like to use the space now used by mail sacks for other things. Things that will get your man or boy back home sooner. And, as I said, V-mail is good, but it's only the second best way to tell your guy or gal what's on your mind. I return you now to Admiral Radio.
By the time the V-mail service came to a close in November of 1945, over 1 billion pieces of mail were delivered. Coming up this Friday on Tune to Yesterday, it's Westerns. We have Hop Along Cassidy and Tales of the Texas Rangers. Also sitcoms at 11, episodes of Our Miss Brooks and Duffy's Tavern. Then the Saturday night, June 24th at 10, it's Crime. 3 broadcasts, though 2 from 1 program. I'll be bringing you The Lady in Blue with part 1 of The Bachelor's Club, then Dark Venture, followed by the second part of that Bachelor's Club story on The Lady in Blue. At 11 o'clock this Saturday night, True History from American Portraits from 1951 and the John Stompanato Murder Inquest. Some fascinating listening from 1958 about Johnny, who is part of a crime family and in a relationship with actress Lana Turner, was stabbed to death by her daughter.
Then came the call for Miss Turner to take the stand. The witness for whom the estimated 100 reporters and photographers and exactly 37 spectators who filled the courtroom had been waiting. Her silver hair combed into a modified ducktail in the back, her fingernails silvered to match her hair, and wearing a fitted gray suit, the actress walked slowly, almost carefully, to the big leather-backed witness chair. She told of a bitter argument that developed at her home the night of the slaying, a row between herself and Stampinato, which she said was touched off by her mentioning a desire to go out for dinner with friends, leaving Stampinato on his own.
Hear these programs on Tune to Yesterday, live on the air from 10 to midnight this Friday, June 23rd, and Saturday, June 24th, or on the web as we stream it live at WRVO.org. So that's it for this week's TTY Dialer podcast. I really enjoy the fact that I'm able to do these for you every single week, and we can really dive into the history of some of these shows and from time to time involve some of the staff here at the station. I'd like to thank our news director, Catherine Loper, for providing that voice earlier when we were talking about Clorets. If you have anything you'd like me to cover or talk about, or if you have any questions for me, comments about the dialer, Tune to Yesterday or Old Time Radio, just email me. My address is mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. Okay, that's it. I'll be back next week.